Good morning, church family. So great to be with you. He is risen. The tomb is empty, and we are celebrating the resurrection day. What I want to share with you today, I think, is just very timely, and that is because the whole world has really come to a screeching halt because of coronavirus. And the reason they've done that, the reason they've laid off people, they've asked for social distancing, they've stopped businesses, they've stopped travel, and all of these things that have come to a stop has been for one reason and one reason only. And what we celebrate today, that empty tomb, what we celebrate today is the answer to why everything has stopped. You see, the reason that the whole world has come to a stop in the last 3 to 4 months is because of a fear, a great fear, a fear of death. It is the fear of death that has caused the governments to shut down. It's the fear of death that's caused the people to the stock markets to be empty. It's the fear of death that has caused everything to come to a stop. But Easter overcomes death. Easter is where Jesus Christ proves once and for all that He has dominion over death. He has defeated it. He has victory over sin and death, and that's what we celebrate today. And so it's just so timely that we get to celebrate this, but also be reminded that we don't have to be afraid like other people have to be afraid, because we have victory in Jesus Christ, because He lives. The song says that God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, to heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, and an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. That's what we're celebrating today. That right there, it puts it all in perspective for us. An empty grave is there to prove that He lives. It proves everything that He said was true. It proves that He is God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. It proves that life is in Him, and there's no other way to the Father except through Him. It goes on to say, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth a living just because He lives. I want to use those last four lines in Romans chapter 8 just to share a brief message of hope with you, because the tomb is empty. When Jesus had gone to meet Mary, meet Martha, because her brother Lazarus had died, Jesus said that, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And then he asked Martha, do you believe this? That's the question for us today. Do we believe this? Do you believe this? So the first line there said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. There's lots of fears going on where people are worried about tomorrow, where provision's coming from, where paychecks are coming from, where food's coming from, where mortgage payments are coming from. There's lots of concern about tomorrow. As we've heard many times, the uncertainty of what's going to happen is what's causing a lot of people to fear. But because Christ is risen from the grave, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. He even tells us in Matthew chapter 6:33 that if we, His people, would spend our time seeking His kingdom, that if we would worry about that first, He will take care of all of our needs. He'll take care of our food, our shelter, and our clothing. He'll take care of everything we need. He even tells us He already knows what it is. And so we can be assured of that. The scripture in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start at the end of the book, or the end of the chapter, and we'll bounce all over it. I would recommend you read it as a family today. But this is what it says in chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. We read this regularly and for good reason. It says this, what then shall we say in response to this? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, is He is at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, he says, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But, says, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can face tomorrow because we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. It says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything in present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing can undo that. Jesus says in the scriptures that he holds you in his hand. And he said, and no one can pluck you from his hand. And then he says, the Father holds us in his hand. We're double clutch. You're not going anywhere. You can face tomorrow. And you can face it with Christian boldness. All because of the empty tomb that we sing about and that we talk about. The next thing I want you to realize is that all fear is gone. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to worry about. I'll go over to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 to talk about that. It says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be an offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. You see, in Jesus Christ, those of us who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, he says that we've moved into a completely different category. We no longer need to fear sin. We no longer need to fear death. We no longer need to fear condemnation. He says there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And so that great forgiveness, that great grace he tells us about in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, he says, God's mercies are new every morning. Every morning. He says your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And so you don't have to fear. There's nothing to fear. God is forgiving you. And if he loves you enough to send his Son to die for you and to forgive you, and he's proved it by raising him from the grave, how much more does he want to bless you and give you everything that you need to accomplish his purposes in this world? You don't need to fear. All fear, the verse says, is gone. The third thing I want you to see is that the future is secure. He says, I know that God holds the future. I know he holds that. There's a security. And we've already talked about that a little bit, but the future is written down already. I read a Facebook post recently. It said, spoiler alert, I've read the back of the book, and we win. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's victorious. He's already victorious over sin and death. And he allows this to go on so that more people may come to know him, that more people may know the power of the resurrection and forgiveness in his life. He allows this to go on in that way that one more soul may come to him for forgiveness. But the future is already set in stone. That is, Jesus Christ is in control. He reigns with the Father. The scripture said that he makes intercession for us. I want to read a couple verses. It's again Romans 8, verses 14 through 19. Verses 14 through 19. The scripture says, if I find it here, it says, I'll start in verse 13. Verse 13, it says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship,
And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. That's like saying, Daddy. Your future is secure. He holds you in the palm of His hand. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The future is secure. You're God's child. It says this, that now, in verse 17, now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in the glory that we may also, in order that we may also share in His glory. You see, your future is secure. A lot of people, the greatest problem of mankind, the greatest problem that has brought this world to a screeching stop is death. But you've overcome death in Christ. In Christ, you will rise again the same way He has risen. Like He told Martha, I am the life, I am the resurrection. It is in Him. And then lastly, I want you to know that we function with a purpose. We function with a purpose. That God hasn't just left us here to live like everyone else. We're a part of a kingdom of God that is expanding out, that is reaching into darkness, that we're helping those who are in fear like we once were. We're helping those find Jesus. We're helping Jesus bring more people into the family of God. He calls us co-heirs with Him. Jesus says as the Father sent Him, He's also sending us. That we live and we function with a purpose. And that's why He says, I know I can face tomorrow. That life is worth a living. It's worth a living because He lives. You have a purpose. Listen to this. It's Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. Romans 8, 9 through 11. It says, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit's alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. It's the Spirit of God that is working in and through you to give you a purpose, a plan, that God wants to use you in phenomenal ways, even now, during this time, to spread the message that He calls the good news. The good news of Christ, the good news of the resurrection, to spread that message to everyone else. I'll leave you with this. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And all of this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. And He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That is His Spirit working through us. As though God were making His appeal through us, it says, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. It says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So here's the questions for you today. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do you really believe that even though you die, you will live again? Do you believe that God has a purpose for your life? And so if you're a believer today, I want to ask you to read Romans 8, pray through that, talk about it with your family. But maybe today you're not a believer. Maybe you've tuned in and you've watched this, but you want that forgiveness. You want that certainty. You want to know that there's no fear. Jesus offers a free invitation to anyone that would accept. He says that if you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, who died to pay for your sins, believe that He rose from the grave, and you submit your life to Him, He will give you eternal life. He'll give you an eternal purpose, and He will call you His brother. And God will call you His son. Let's pray. Father God, I pray just thanking You today that You've given us an answer to the world's problems. You've given us an answer to sin, to sickness, to death, dear Lord, to lostness. And Lord, you want us to know you, to know the power of the resurrection, to live for you through the Spirit, and to help accomplish your goals, which is saving men and women, boys and girls. Lord, that they may know you, worship you, and serve you alongside of us. We thank you for that, dear Lord. I pray today, if anyone's watching that don't know you, that they would surrender their life to you. And Lord, I pray that this virus would not slow down your church. Lord, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if you thought it would hurt your church, you would have stopped it. But Lord, you're going to use it to bring about your purpose. And Lord, I pray that every single believer in their homes today would reach out and show their neighbors the hope and love of you, that would lay down your life for us so that we may be saved. And we pray it in Christ's name. Praise you, Lord, for raising from the grave and saving our souls. Amen. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful Resurrection Day. Thank you so much for tuning in. And let's worship the Lord together, because He is the only one worthy.